So we're doing Drashot Aran, and again, I'd like to dedicate our learning to Dvorah Lea Bat Michal. She should have her refuah shleima. Lilui Nishmat
Gilda Bat Rafael.
The Aran had discussed that when you have components of a larger whole, so then, so long as they don't have the same faults, they can cover up for one another's fault. If they share the same fault, so then they just magnify the fault. But if they have different faults, so they'll cover up for one another's fault. And not only that, but what can be a fault when left alone, when it's part of the greater whole, so then the fault can actually be an asset. It could bring out in others their strengths. And we described, for example, garlic powder. No one wants to eat garlic powder. But if you put it on meat, if you put it on different things, so then that spice can bring out a good taste in other things. So the same way, when you have a group, if one guy's a hothead, sometimes he'll get the group to work in the right direction. They won't listen to him, but the fact that he's part of the group, even though by him it's a fault that he's a hothead, as part of the group, it can be an asset. So the Ran continues, we're on page Ches in Machon Shalem, the Ran of Machon Shalem. You want to pass me yours? What page is it? We're on page Yud of the Mishor edition. The Imkin. So over here in the middle of the paragraph, imken eifo, four lines into the paragraph. Imken eifo, ma la'asot yekar u'gdula b'chlal murkav mipratim chashuvim kaze. And if so, then when you have something that's composed of such components that are so important, so worthy, what can you do? How much honor should you give it when the components are so worthy? You have to be careful talking before them in Torah. He's talking, I guess, before the masses. He has his congregation standing before him, and he just discussed how when you have a mass that's composed of components, so then the mass is much greater than its components. So he says, and certainly I'm standing before you. I'm talking before the mass of people, which has so many components, that each component is so worthy. How careful one has to be before talking before them the words of Torah. And certainly when it comes to discussing something which is so important, something that's so elevated, so weighty, so exalted, like the concept of creation. So the Ran is going to take us to a discussion of Maaseh Bereishis, of creation. And now his next sentences are going to be an apology. How dare I do this? So he begins by saying, how dare I stand before the masses that are so valued? His whole introduction was a discussion of how the components can make the mass such a great thing. And I saying, and you, the masses that I'm standing before, you're composed of individuals which are so special, so certainly how dare I stand before you and speak about this topic. Whoever dares talk about this, the creation, how God created the world, will ultimately fall on in one of two areas. Either he'll fall because he knows what he's talking about, or else he'll fall because he doesn't know what he's talking about. But either way, if a man stands up to discuss this concept, he's messing up. Notice, this is all an introduction to why he will discuss it. But first he's saying, I'm aware of the fact that firstly, I have to take your honor into account. And secondly, anyone who tries discussing this messes up. In Yadabo, if it's someone that really knows about how creation was, then he's transgressing because our sages instructed us that these secrets can only be given to a single person, not to say it over before two people. Even if you have two people before you, you can't say it over. And if he doesn't know what he's talking about how God created the world, he's deceiving himself. And he's degrading the congregation he's speaking before. He's discussing something he doesn't know what he's talking about. And not only that, he's showing everyone how haughty he is. Because undoubtedly, Why is he discussing something that he doesn't really know? It stems from his pride. Kmo she'amar David, as David Amel says, Hashem lo gavali bi v'lo ramu enai, God, I have not been haughty and I have not discussed things that are beyond my capacity. Hinei hora, David Amel taught us, ki ruma lev yavi adam ledaber mimashu nisgav ne'elam mimenu. A person's own haughtiness causes him to discuss something that is really beyond him. V'asher yesh lo zot ha'tchuna ra'a, and anyone who has that bad trait, whoever is haughty, hu shafel me'erko, he's really even less than his own value. Einenu yachol amod minkom gdolim, he can't stand among the great people. Kmo shamar, as our sages taught us, the megis da'ato, if someone takes pride, hakadosh baruch hu mashpilo, God ensures to bring him down. Amar ha'katuv, in the verse also tells us, lifnei shever ga'on, before breaking, a person becomes proud. A person, just before things turn really bad, a person turns really proud. One follows the other.
So
right.
It's better to say when a person is proud, if God.
Ah.
Why so? What is the reason? The reason is he is God's son, not the God's.
So the pasuk specifically words it the other way. Rav Nissim Gaon began by saying, if a person becomes proud, God pushes him down. So I thought that really these are two stages. On one level, if a person becomes proud, so God eventually cuts him down to size. But I think the pasuk is telling us a deeper message, that it's not only a godly thing, but it's also a humanistic fault. It's something that we could understand without godly intervention. That lifnei shevel, before a downfall, there's pride. And you could take example from in the Civil War. So there was one point when Lee, the general of the North, the general of Robert E. Lee, and who was in the North? I don't remember. The general of the North, Grant, right. So Grant had people in hot air balloons. He had spies. He had everything he needed to know. He had everything. He was one up on the other army in every level. He had better infantry. He had better backup supplies. He had people in hot air balloons telling him what was going on below. He had everything you could dream of. And that night he went to sleep confident he's going to win. And we don't even have to go to the Civil War. Chazal, we have a story in the Navi, that when they came to capture Yerushalayim in the time of Sanherib, so they were confident, we have Yerushalayim. He waved his hand and he said, is this the city that everyone got so excited about? What's the big deal with this city? And in both cases, that pride brought about the downfall. And I think the pasuk indicates that there's an exact cause-effect, not even a spiritual thing. When a person becomes proud, so he lets his guard down. And he, part of being proud, what's the source of pride? The source of pride is a lie. Because if I'm truthful, I have nothing to be proud about. Almost everything I've accomplished is because God gave me the ability to do it. What's the difference between me and someone who's retarded? God gave him this IQ and God gave me that IQ. Can I stand here and say, I'm so much smarter than him? what did I do? So Baruch Hashem, I'm not retarded. That's how God created me. But it's not something I can take the credit for. Pride stems from a certain element that of taking credit for something which we don't have a right to take credit. But that lie goes beyond the pride. That lie goes to the point of having confidence that I'm not entitled to either. And the second a person isn't true to himself, so he's far more vulnerable to fool. So I think the pasuk purposely says it. Describes it as lifnei shever, directly before a breaking point is gaon. There's pride. Because if there weren't pride, you wouldn't break there. And you see it many times in history. Okay, you could look at now. Why did Bush blunder like he did? Because he was confident. Sure, we have President Bush. Why did he blunder? Because he was confident. Why did we blunder in the war in Lebanon? Because we had pride. He said, we have the best army in the Middle East and we could take them like this and we were sure we could do whatever we want. And suddenly they pulled a fast one on us. If we'd have less pride, then maybe we'd work on getting better intelligence. Then maybe we wouldn't just charge forward and maybe we wouldn't have lost so many soldiers. we see it over and over in history. So that's why I think the pasuk specifically words it this way: Lifnei shever gaon. What, you know what precedes a breaking? Pride. Because if there weren't pride, you wouldn't necessarily break there.
I think it also means that before shever, you can have many different things, but one of them is exactly will be.
Okay. Gavan. Yeah, I don't think it's absolute right. Person could also not be gavan break. Nothing, I mean, yeah. And the reason why, if one is proud, so God makes him humble, there are two reasons. One, because God does a measurement for a measurement. And once a person tries to elevate himself beyond what's fitting for him, then it's fitting that he should be lowered and his own stature should be lowered. And the second reason why that's a cause and effect, that when a person takes pride and he goes up, he sticks his nose in the cloud, so then he's automatically lowered. Because the nature of creation, that's the nature of the world. Everything returns to its natural place. And take anything out of its natural habitat, and the thing loses. The thing starts deteriorating. You see, you put air under the water, so the bubbles automatically rise to the top. You try to take earth, you throw it up into the air, it comes down. So they didn't know gravity. They described it that the earth always wants to go back to its natural place, back to the earth. And the air always wants to go back to its natural place, the air. Okay. ועוד כתב היצירה חייב להיות העליונים מעתידים לקבל השפלות ולהיות התחתונים מותדים לתרומם. And he says the nature, the way God created the world is that things that are on top, whatever goes up will ultimately go down, and whatever is down will ultimately go up. And מפני את זה אמרו, and that's why our sages taught us, נגיד שמה, if one's name became famous, became widespread, עבד שמה, ultimately his name will be lost. He's famous today, who's going to remember him in 10 years, in 100 years? That's the nature of the world that we live in.
So, but in the same time, it's written that the crown of a good name is the best crown.
Yeah, I think this is talking about someone, he's governor of the town. So to you, today, he's the famous one. But Chazal said that, we learned this Mishnah, we discussed it in the Mishnah. Okay, we'll quickly make a run for it, two more quick paragraphs, yeah? And this concept is expressed in the verse that describes how in the time of creation God made a mist arise from the ground and water of the earth. Because the earth penetrates through the different elements to the core of the earth. And because of the functions of the sun, so it causes steam, it causes humidity, vapors to arise from the two lower elements. And then the elements, they give off the steam, they give off the heat, so they're basically giving off fire and air. The water evaporates, turns into clouds, and then the clouds come down as pouring rain. In truth, the element of fire, meaning heat, can also work this way. God could have made it that the same thing happens with fire. The fire will evaporate, you'll have clouds of fire, and then fire will come pouring down like rain. But out of God's mercy for us, it's not the way God created the world. Just like God decreed that the waters will split and you'll have dry land, even though naturally, what's stopping the waters from covering all of the land? God made it so that the land is on top and the waters go down. But really, it could have been that the waters cover everything, which seems to be the way the world was before creation. Initially, God created the world. It seems like the first nature of the world is that everything's covered with water. And then God said, okay, now I want the world to evolve into a state where there are land masses and bodies of water. And this is the concept of the rainbow. Okay, so this is where we'll pick up. We'll pick up here next week.
finish up with the rainbow.
The rainbow, yeah. We'll pick up with the rainbow next week.